The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Bind me, gag me, take me to the bunny ranch. People dying, kill me in the packing house. Even you have to win some.
I usually kind of just keep the mics hot. Okay. So they're hot right now.
Scary.
Hey! Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bunny Ears Podcast. I am your host, Devin Sawa, also known as Macaulay Culkin. Yep. And this week we have a very special guest. It's Esther Pavitsky.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
That's
good.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Novitsky, but with a P.
Yeah. Wait. What's Novitsky?
Oh, he's a basketball player.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there you go. And yeah. But I wanted to make sure I said it. I actually meant to ask you off air. I want to say your name right, but I was like, hey, I forgot.
So, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whenever people are bringing me up for a show, like in stand up, they're like, how do I? I'm like, I don't care. Say whatever you want. I'm never gonna be that person that's like, they said my name wrong. They hate me.
Those fucking jerks. So yeah, they hate me.
No, it's an annoying name. Who cares?
Yeah. What, Polish?
No, everyone thinks that, but because it ends in a Y, it's technically Russian.
Oh, okay. There you go. So you're Russian?
I guess.
Ethnically?
I don't even know. Like, I think my great grandparents, one was Russian and one was from England. And all I know is I'm half Jewish. My dad's Jewish and my mom is Finnish.
Yeah. The Jewish side is always the proud side.
Really?
Yeah. It's the one that says I'm Jewish.
I feel very mixed about it. Like, I am proud, but I'm also like, ugh, I'm Jewish. Like, it's just another Jew.
Yeah, another Jewish comedian.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. It's not that exciting.
Yeah. So you're not practicing?
No, I was not really raised with the religion because my dad hated it. My dad actually hated Hebrew school.
And he was the Jew in the family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he was like,
there's always one.
Yeah. He was like, we will not do Hebrew school. Like, I will not put you through that. But I did go to like a Jewish preschool and we did Hanukkah and we did like a couple of those holidays that I don't even now remember which ones, but
were you a lucky kid who got Hanukkah and Christmas?
Kind of, but like I wouldn't say that the presents equated to two holidays. It was like almost one holiday worth of presents divided up.
That's kind of the impression that I got. Like every kid that I grew up with that was like Jewish or half Jewish kind of thing, they kind of had both.
Yeah.
But they said like, yeah, no, they kind of just take your Christmas presents and just leak them slowly.
Yeah, it's not like this utopia of gifts that everyone would
yes,
think.
Yes, yes. But it's this still cornucopia. Yes.
Non-stop fun. No.
But, you know, do you know dreidel? Did you get your gold
yes,
coins?
Yes, I did dreidel. I did some gelt. You know, I did all the things. My dad always told me, like, you are culturally, ethnically Jewish, we're not the religion, which is a very like a confusing topic because people are like, Judaism is a religion, but it's also
an ethnicity.
It's ethnicity, yes. Like it shows up on my 23andMe. I'm calling that my ethnicity.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I had a friend who I won't name was confused by that. Yeah, well, he was confused by that, you know,
people,
a little bit.
Yeah, people.
But he's like in his 40s. And he's like, yeah. I was like, no, being Jewish is an ethnicity.
Yes.
It's okay to be Jewish, but also not Jewish.
Yes.
Yes. Like, yes. Like, it's okay.
As confusing as that sounds, yes.
Yes. Exactly. It works. So you're a Jewish comedian.
Worst sentence ever possible. Yes, that's true.
All right. Yeah. And where are you from originally?
So I grew up in Skokie, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, which is actually very Jewish community, or at least it was.
Go on.
But Skokie is famous for these like KKK marches that happened before I was
born. So it's Jewish and KKK.
Yes. Like apparently, I guess because a lot of Holocaust survivors migrated to Skokie and that's where the KKK decided they would have their big march. So whenever I say I'm from Skokie, people who are older than me are like, oh, the KKK march. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Yes, yeah, here I am. Hello. And so so you did Illinois and then like you jump around, like a, were you like a military kid to jump around? You know,
Just roll the dice maybe. No, I grew up there and then I went to college at the University of Illinois in Champaign, which is like a Big Ten party school. I personally did not have a great experience there. I didn't like it.
The Illini?
Yes. Talking,
yes,
Fighting
okay.
The Illini. Yep, yep. While we were there, our like mascot was taken away from us because I guess it was that was right when we were realizing that everything people do is offensive and our logo was offensive. It was like the chief.
So I was a Native American thing?
Yes.
Okay,
so I was
gotcha.
There for that transitional year where everyone was like, the chief is going away. Buy up all the chief merchandise. And so I saw the chief come and go. And then 2.5 years in, I decided, I don't like this. Because I don't drink and I don't.
I'll bring that up because I drink during my podcast. that's the way I go. You know what I mean?
I know when I was hanging out with you recently, you just busted out, which I don't know anything about alcohol, but afterwards Dave, the person we were with, was like, so he just busted out like very, very fancy champagne, like just out of 5 o'clock on a Sunday.
Heck yeah.
Like the best champagne we've ever seen.
Oh, nice. No, it was a hot summer day. You know, yeah. Let's sit in the backyard and drink some fine champs. You know,
there's true French vibes going on here.
I was about to say, it really does. Like, French spoiled me.
Yeah.
It really did. Now it's like everything else tastes like piss. You know, I have to do it. Like, and of course they charge you like 10 times more over here for like the stuff that costs like $20 over there.
Oh God.
It's the way it works.
Of course. That's, I know with French beauty products, that's would be my equivalent is like the French beauty products are what I want.
Creme de la mer. Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Whatever they're bio. There's like this crazy French product that's literally made for as nipple cream. It's
go on.
I knew I'd get that response. It's like made for women who are breastfeeding, I think, to like, I guess I don't know anything about breastfeeding, but I guess you want to like
French women have beautiful nipples.
Apparently, they take care of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like this.
Here's my areola cream.
I forgot Biologique or something. No, it's not that. But there's a French nipple cream that is a famous French beauty product that like I have started to now hoard whenever I can get my hands on it because we in America use it as lip balm. It's just this giant tube. You're just like, all right, I guess because French women put it on their nipples, it belongs.
Yeah, exactly. Body. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess nipples and lips are pretty close to, you know.
Yeah, you know.
They're both pinkish. There you go. Yeah.
In some cases, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I get chapped nipples. Like, yeah, sure.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. It happens. Whatever. Anyways, so I don't drink. So I didn't really enjoy my time in college. Like, I was jumping around from major to major and just couldn't kind of like find my way. And I ended up quitting. And that's when I moved to LA and just started doing stand-up.
How old are you?
I was 21 when I moved out here and started doing stand-up right away. And obviously, like, all the odd jobs that you do.
Odd jobs, were you like replacing light bulbs for people?
Hello, sir. Yes, my name is Tom, and I'm here to. Yes.
I'm here to mow your lawn.
Electrician? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Not quite as odd as that, but I love that. I love vision. Just I love
everything. Envisioning yourself doing that. Yeah.
Just with my hard hat and no. So I. You know, I babysat. I worked at Equinox for a bit.
Nice.
I feel like you are not a gym person, right?
Definitely not.
I know. I'm like, would you ever find yourself?
I'm a drinker smoker type.
How you stay fit.
Yes, that's how I stay fit. Yeah. Yeah. It used to be cocaine. That's how I stayed slim. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So I worked at Equinox. I worked at Press Juicery. I, you know, was assistant for random people and stuff. So I did all that stuff while doing stand up. And then, you know, eventually, like,
you were able to make a living doing the stand up stuff?
Not for a while. Stand up. Yeah.
How much were you getting paid early on, kind of thing?
I would say debited quite amount.
Really? Pay to play kind of thing?
Yeah, there's open mics. A lot of them were, you know, not at the comedy clubs, but like the random open mics, like you have to buy an item. There was one open mic called Marty's. A
2-beer minimum just to perform.
Yeah. And there was one place where like you'd have to pay $5 to get in, and then they had 3 rooms and you could just go get on each of those stages for the $5. No one in the audience is, but just.
But yeah, but also you're trying to get your chops.
Yeah. You don't need, you know, at a certain point.
So you had your tight five. Did you just repeat your tight five in each room, or did you like, you know, like how do you work?
No, like I'm trying to think back, like, because now I'm preparing to do a special hopefully soon. And so, like, now what I do when I go on is pretty much kind of stay within the same set. You know, I'm like just getting my reps in on that same set and the same jokes and rewording the little things.
Because you're also practicing for a special, exactly. Essentially. Like, yeah. So you want to make sure it's tight.
Yeah. Yes, so that's more my approach now. But I would say early on, and like when you're just in the earlier stages, it was much less of that and more like, all right, today I'm going to talk about this random subject and I'm just going to see what happens. And that's kind of more how I felt like I.
So you kind of riff.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and how scary was that?
You know,
especially if you like, you know, listen, did you have like fallback jokes that like, at least you could like, you know, if the riff wasn't working, like, let me throw out something.
Not in the beginning. No.
Really?
And it's doing stand-up, I would say, is very scary. Like, even I remember before I ever tried it, just thinking about it, I was like, God, there's just no way. There's absolutely no way I could do that. And then once you get over that hump, you do it once or twice, a few times, and you learn to fail, and you learn what it feels like to bomb. You're like, all right, I got this. Let me just go bomb. And there's actually, that's common advice that I remember receiving was like, okay, like I remember a comedian after I got off stage was like, that was a great set. Go out to the rest of the town and bomb. Like, just go bomb is basically like one of the mindsets early on.
No, exactly. You have to. You have to. That's what, you know, yeah. And they say it takes about 10 years to find your feet.
That's exactly right. That is exactly what I was told when I, like,
everyone says that. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a while, but that is the exact advice I got. And I'm just at a little over 10 years, and that's why I'm finally like, okay, I want to do a special. Mm-hmm. Mostly I have a friend that's pushing me to do it, so that's really why, but I will do it.
Yeah, but still, that's good though. Yeah, that's good though.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a good friend.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Your friend has really great taste. Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah, great taste in comedy, at least. And and you still, I mean, how often do you work now? Like, you know, how often do you work the clothes?
So I am pretty much at the Comedy Store every weekend that I'm in town. And then right now, because we just wrapped our show, Dollface, coming to Hulu November 15th.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that.
No big deal. Very excited. And so now I'm like doing some touring, and I'm going to Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm going to New York to do shows. You know, I'm going all over.
So you're getting booked all over the place.
Yeah. Just for now, just to kind of get ready
for
a special, basically. Work on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hour.
Yeah. 2-beer minimums kind of thing.
Yes. No. Yeah. I'm paying to do this.
Pay
the audience.
Yes, exactly. Everybody show up. Yeah. Hey, mom, come see my show.
Oh, gosh.
So you were speaking about Dollface, which is a show that is actually how we met.
Yes.
Yes, because my special lady friend is on the show.
She's also my special lady friend. I don't know if you know that.
I know. I think she's a lot of people's special lady friend. She's a very special lady friend.
Yes, and I know. Do people know that you?
Oh, it's Brenda. Yeah,
no,
sure.
And that you were
on the show yet?
Yeah.
No, that's what we're going to talk about.
Can we say?
Yes.
That?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, listen. I don't know that show anything. I already gave them 2 days of my life. I already gave them at least one panic attack. They owe it to me. But I guested on your show. But I guess. Because we haven't really talked about Dollface on this show yet. So here, give it to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Give it to my audience.
Let me tell you guys about Dollface, which is the thing I'm the most excited to talk about ever.
Because I'm going to have Kat on and things like that. Like,
That's great. Okay, so it's basically a show about a girl that gets broken up with, which is Kat Dennings. It stars Kat Dennings. And after she's broken up with, she's like, okay, I guess I need female friends again. And it's about her journey back into the world of female friendship. And
she's so dry to begin with too. So
she's just so unbelievably funny, and she's just a great actress. And like, really, I find her to be so relatable, even though I look at her face and I'm like, I will never be as pretty as you, but I relate to you somehow.
She is so pale. I know. Yeah, no, we went to CatCon recently. And I was
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and she is so pale. Like, yeah, no, honestly, like, it was like when we actually walked out into the sunlight, like, it hurt my eyes. Like, it was
She does give me good pale girl confidence because I always feel like I'm so pale, and I look at her, I'm like, she's pale and she's beautiful. So she's
about as tan as I get right now. It's Disney World, like, residual, like, kind of thing. But usually, yeah, usually I'm the whitest boy in the room. Okay, yeah, really. Irish, German, Norwegian. Look, yeah, none of that's conducive to the sun.
You have that profile down. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But anyways,
the show then just kind of morphs into what I would call like a show about a group of four girls, female friendship, and all the things that go along with that. A
little bit of a Sex and the City meets New Girl kind of thing.
I've heard that.
Yes, I know. I think that's been the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I wish that, you know, it won't come out till November, but I cannot wait to watch it. I think it's going to be
great. I've actually seen some, like, not just like the dailies, but I've seen some extended kind of clips. And it looks great. Look at the cat lady on the bus. Like, it looks great.
So cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously Brenda and Shay Mitchell are so good in it. Like, I just feel very lucky.
Yeah, it's a really fun four-hander. You know, So we got to work together.
Which was so fun. I cannot believe how funny you are and how good at being weird. Like, no spoilers, but I just, like, your experience shows.
I told Brenda eventually, but it was that first thing when we were out on the street. Mm-hmm. Like, when the little pedicab pulls up, I kept on like kind of in between setups, like going back and having a cigarette and pacing, so like that. I literally had a panic attack.
I can't believe that.
No, like, for real. Like, and I only had like one line, and it was just Ed. When we did the first rehearsal, I forgot it.
Of course.
Yeah. No. And exactly. And I'm just pacing back and forth, and like, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was actually like I had a mild episode. Yeah, well, I made sure no one saw.
You know? Sure did, because I had no idea. But yeah. I feel like I've heard later, since this issue, that it was related to possibly a lot of caffeine in
coffee.
The morning.
I don't drink coffee.
Oh.
And I had two coffees that morning.
Okay, and, yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
And if it hits at the right time.
It was a perfect storm. Perfect
now,
storm.
I can't believe you don't drink coffee. Why don't you drink coffee?
Because I drink booze instead. That's what it is. Yeah. It's just, exactly. Yeah. It's like noon right now. And like, I'm having a glass of champagne. Like, yeah. Like, podcast time. But yeah, no, I just don't really, like, I've cut a lot of caffeine out of my diet. I've cut, like, just like a lot of red meat and things like that. It's, my lifestyle's caught up with me a little bit, you know, my bowels. So, you know, yeah. So, yeah, I'm being a responsible adult. You know, I have a good lady and everything like that. And yeah, we're talking about having a baby and all that. So it's like, yeah, like, all right, be a little bit better to yourself. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to like drink a 12 pack of Mountain Dew every day. Like, you know,
what?
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy that you're still alive from that.
I know. Well, my kidneys let me know. You know, they definitely, yeah. My liver's like, what? So.
Your liver's like, new phone, who's this?
Yeah. But we got to work with each other, and like I said, I had a full on like panic attack. But also, I've had, like, it's not like I'm a person who has a lot of panic attacks, but I've had enough in my life to catch myself while it's happening, kind of thing.
Interesting.
So like, here's what's happening, you know, and I imagined me coming home and hugging my cat, and and that made me feel better. You know, and things like that, you know, yeah. But I was trying to introduce certain things, like the silly laugh and stuff like that. Like that
so
stuff.
Funny.
So I introduced that early on, and it was one of those things where it really wasn't that funny then. But then when we start doing the other scene where like, I was like, no, I have an idea. I actually came in with a fully flushed out idea of what I wanted to do.
I'm just so impressed by that because I feel like, I just don't see people doing that and having so much thought, especially just as a guest star. Like, it really inspired me how much you brought to it.
Oh, good.
I don't want to go on and on about it, but I do just think your performance was so fucking funny and good, and it's really hard to do that. And I'm just like, where is like the Mac show? Like, I don't know. I do want to see you have a show, a comedy where you're doing what you do.
Yeah. Well, I found a showrunner apparently. Hi, Ira, by the way. Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where it's funny. Brenda gives me crap all the time. And crap, I mean good lighthearted crap. But yeah, she like wants me to work more. Yeah. Like, you know, to at least... Like, I like doing work. I think I'm good at it and all that kind of stuff.
I think so too, yeah.
But it's one of those things where I don't want to be on the circuit. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, like, grind it out and, you know, do the auditioning thing and stuff like that. Listen, I had a panic attack remembering one fucking line. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, but at the same time, it's like, once I actually kind of, like, jump on the trolley, like, I'm good to go.
I noticed that, yeah. Yes.
I came in with a very specific vision. I mean, even just my whole outfit and the way I parted my hair and the whole thing. I was like, I know exactly what I want to do.
I cannot recommend people, like, even if you're not going to watch Dollface, because that doesn't sound like it's for you, which... you know, this every show is for
somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
I highly, strongly stress that you watch. I think it's episode 6.
I think it is. Yeah.
That Mac is in, because it is, his character will just like knock. It's just crazy.
My Mimu.
Yeah.
Which I liked how you jumped on that trolley. Like, I made like a Mimu like joke.
That killed me. Yeah. You guys have to see this.
Gee whiz.
Oh yeah, you killed me. I wish people knew what we were talking about, but they will.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah. So go see
your
it.
Calendar.
Yeah, mark your calendars. Because also we were filming. It's a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And we were filming outdoors at one point. We were on a little trailer that was like kind of like dragging us down the street. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, if you're pretending to drive a car, like we were in a pedicab.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're dragging us down the street. It's 99 degrees.
Oh my God.
And we're also on Wilshire Boulevard too, which is not an unbusy street, which is like, that's a Kafkaesque nightmare for me, being dragged down the street over and over in front of all of these looky-loos. Like, honestly, I've had nightmares that were not that bad. Yeah. And so I'm wearing a button-up shirt all the way up to the top, and I'm wearing a sweater.
Sweater of and, all things.
And you're wearing a freaking full body sweater.
A velour bodysuit. Yeah. Now, the one thing that I think is also very important to note here was that this was the hottest day of the year, and the day literally before, the weeks before, and the day and weeks after were all beautiful, perfect
67,
weather.
72.
Whether you would like fly 15 hours to get to.
Yeah.
However, the one day we were outside all day in the sun happened to be about 100 degrees.
And we're on this freaking rig, and the way that they do the thing is that they have, like, you know, they try to shade you with the light and things to control the light. It turns into a greenhouse.
Yes, a hot box.
So it's a hot box. They were literally giving me ice packs,
and they were melting.
They were 30 seconds later. There would be room temp, you know, yeah. Like, you know, and the room was 99 degrees.
And I feel bad complaining as an actor because, like, obviously it's such a great job. Like, we're all excited to be there. We're having so much fun.
No, it's a high budget thing.
Yeah,
the crew's great. Like,
yeah. Literally every person on that show is just like the best of the best. And then it's just those little environmental things that can really make you a little bit miserable.
I mean, especially
overheat.
I mean, look, I don't do this for a living anymore.
Right.
And I'm the kind of person who was like, this reminds me of why I don't do this anymore. Like, you know, like that kind of thing. It was one of those kind of days a little bit.
That
like,
totally makes sense. Believe me, every other day we shot was like completely fine. It just felt like you had to be there on the worst day.
I know. That's what everyone said. They're like, you came here on the worst day. You're like, oh, cool.
I will say though, there's one thing about suffering that then when the relief afterwards, when I got into my trailer and I had one of these like Minute Maid cherry lime push-up popsicles, I will never forget the moment of just eating this cold sugary popsicle. After that, nothing could have ever been as good.
Right? Yeah. No, I just remember putting a ice pack between my legs. that's what I remember. And like, oh my God, nothing could be better than this right now.
That's all you needed.
Just right there. It's like, oh, that was so good. Like, it was in the armpits, but it was the one between the legs. Like, now I feel cool. Yeah. All right, we're gonna cut for a little commercial break thing. You might not hear commercial, but if you do, great. All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to Meditation Minute. I'm your guide, Louis Prada. It's time to lift anchor and set sail on the seas of tranquility. As I tell you in every episode, the key to maintaining a meditative state is to focus on your breathing.
but some of us need something a little bit more tactile. That's why today I'm going to teach you a brand new technique for maintaining focus when your breath just isn't enough. When you feel your focus drifting away, touch your index finger to the thumb on your right hand and count one. Then touch your middle finger to your thumb and count two. Do the same with your ring finger and so on, continuing the count until your left hand. When you reach 10, go all the way back to 1. Keep going until you let go of your thoughts and slip into a state of focus. Let's give this new technique a spin, shall we? Count along with me as we begin by touching our right index fingers to our thumb and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Wait, hold on. That can't be right. Hold on. I must have messed up somehow. Let me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. No. I don't appear to have messed up. I have 13 fingers. 13 fingers. Never noticed that. Wow. You know, I always knew there was something weird about my hands, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it, which is wild because I have a lot of fingers to put on it. So, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to cut this episode a little short so I can spend the rest of the afternoon getting acquainted with my 3 new finger friends. I'm thinking of taking them bowling and throwing 2 balls with 1 hand. I don't know if that's legal, but it's happening. Anyway, I hope this guided meditation has brought you the serenity you seek. My name is Louis Prada, and this has been Meditation Minute. Namaste.
And we're back. And we're back. Welcome back. We were talking about Dollface. Yes. And our 99-degree experience.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, because it seems like actually like you have a pretty good setup over there when it comes to like the sets. You have like, you have 2 different stages. And
yeah, and we were on location a lot, which was
I was going to ask about that. Yeah,
yeah, that was new for me because on my last show, Alone Together, which all 2 seasons are on Hulu, if you're interested in checking that out. There's no more. It's done, though. It was a very low budget show. I'll just be honest about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's off the air. So you can talk so much shit about
off
it.
Off the air?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck everybody. No. We had very few location days. And I think that like you kind of can feel that when you watch it. We're in the house a lot. But what was really nice about Dollface is that we had so many locations, and especially in episode 3 where we were at this amazing, I think it's called the Frank Sinatra House, and we're just at this beautiful mid-century modern mansion at night.
I was gonna say, was it the Long Beach stuff or whatever? Where was that,
that one? That one was Chatsworth.
Gotcha.
So yeah, there's just a lot of really cool, that's another thing about the show that I'm excited about is like a lot of good LA
yeah.
spots.
Cause there was a good amount of night shoots, it seemed like early on too,
yeah.
which is, I love night shoots.
Yeah. You seem like you're built for night shoots.
I am. Yes. I could be tired all day long and the sun goes down and I am alive.
Why? Kind of, what is it?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's just the way that I am, kind of thing. And yeah I'm a creature of the night is what I am. But yeah. And, but Brenda was kind of hating her life for a little while.
I remember her just having a really hard time sleeping during the day.
Yeah.
And I had that at first, but then once I got in the hang of it, I was almost like clinical about sleep. Like the second I would get home, you know, maybe at 5 a.m.
Would you do the math?
Yeah.
I know. I can tell you. Yeah. I know you enough to know that. You know.
And I wouldn't fuck around. Like the second I got home, I just took my makeup off, brushed my teeth, got into bed, had all the windows covered.
Kiss the boyfriend.
not even.
Not even.
I slept in a different room than him because I was not messing around.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. He has sleep apnea. He's got a breathing mask. Like, I can't
gotcha.
Mess with that. So, and then my sleep routine is put on a podcast on a 15-minute sleep timer, and then I was out. I was just...
What do you do? True crime? What do you do?
Not for sleep, but those... I'll do true crime if I'm, like, cleaning my house, but what do I do?
What would you do? What would you do?
Any kind of... Honestly, any kind of conversation podcast, something like this, not that this is boring, but it can't be boring, but yeah. Like people,
but conversational, no, something you can drift off to.
Yeah. People talking.
Yeah. Like this. It's like what you do when you kind of drive and want to zone out.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Yeah. I have a zone out podcast is what I have. Yes.
I have, which my old podcast, Weird Adults, I was often told by people that they liked it because they fell asleep to it. I was like, great. Okay.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say about my voice? Exactly. Am I not dynamic enough?
It nauseates you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. It makes you sleepy. All right. There you go. And you have your own podcast.
Yes. So I started out with Weird Adults, which was just an interview show. And then I started,
and you have a hard time finding guests after a while, isn't that how it works? That's how it works for me.
And scheduling, all that stuff.
It's kind of a bitch.
Podcasts they're not as simple as they seem. And then I started glowing up with one of my really good friends, Caroline Goldfarb, who I met when she was writing for Alone Together season 1, and we both just found ourselves like obsessed with makeup and like celebrities and what celebrities eat, and we were like, all right, this needs to be a podcast. And so we did that for 2 years. We're taking a hiatus right now, but we are doing a live show at the Montreal Festival.
Are you gonna pick it back up?
We will. We're thinking maybe in the fall. We're still figuring it out because
I took away like a 4-monther,
it just felt, it started to feel like the quality was going down, and we just decided like, let's take a breather, regroup, figure it out, and we'll come back stronger than ever.
Oh yeah. Oh, look at that. There you go. Yeah. And didn't you do something about like what's in your purse or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So I had these videos on Refinery 29, like probably 4 or 5 years ago now, where I would go through people's purses, but it actually started, I had a show, a monthly show at UCB on Franklin, where, I'd have maybe like 3 or 4 stand-ups on the show, and each stand-up would do a set. And then after their set, me and that comedian would get a volunteer from the crowd and go through their purse. And it was so much fun.
And just riffing. It's UCB.
Just completely like make fun of them and learn so much about how weird people are. It was awesome. And so that was a show. And then we did some videos with Refinery 29. And now that's actually something when I do my live shows, I'll go through people's bags at the end. And I'm hoping we'll incorporate an element of that into the comedy special.
I wish I had a purse. I swear.
I know. Yeah. I know.
You can go through my office if you want to.
Yeah. That would be great.
It's kind of my like large purse, essentially. Yeah. It's a room sized purse. I usually walk around with a satchel.
Really?
Well, I call it a purse. But it actually was like a leather satchel. Because I mean, it's more masculine, I guess, to call it a satchel. There's also a merce. Mm-hmm. But then I actually was like, no, this is my purse. And it was nothing but crayons and notebook. And I always had crazy glue and stick glue in it all the time.
Why?
Because I was I'm crafty. That's why I'm crafty.
What did you ever do with the glue? I need to know.
Because with my notebooking, I'll take the coaster from like the table and put it into my notebook. So I knew here's something to remember essentially. So I knew where I was during that day
I love that idea.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, my notebooks, they start like this, like those little, moleskins.
Yeah.
Standard kind of half inch, whatever. And by the end they're like this. They're
where
about, they're
were
like
you when
3-4
you were
inches.
Doing these notebooks?
Usually, I was usually at home drinking whiskey.
Wait.
Or I'd be at a bar drinking whiskey.
I was
going
to say, because it seems like the perfect idea. Like, I'm so inspired to do this for when you're traveling and you're on a trip and you need to like take a business card from little things. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's
a little
genius.
A little glue stick. That's all you need. It takes 2 seconds, too.
Did you ever do this out in the world?
No, absolutely. No,
oh,
you know,
good. Okay.
I would traverse, boots on the pavement, just traversing bars and things like that. I had a book that I used to draw in, but it was called, I have a lot of them, but one of them was Draw in My Book, Just Don't Be a Jerk About It. And
perfect title.
I would let the bartender, like, hey, draw me something in my book. And boom, they would draw like a turtle or something like that or whatever. And the only rule was don't draw on someone else's page. But otherwise, you could draw on any page you want to. You could draw on the last page, the first page, like whatever. But
that is so awesome.
Yeah, draw my book. Just don't be a jerk about it. Yeah. And also, I had one that was churls are great to draw and other fun things to draw. Like that was, you know, yeah. I have stacks of these books, like right now, you know. I have my big red book that doesn't fit on a shelf, and it was way too big, you know, yeah. And it was, like, yeah, I would travel around with that, and people would, like, so I have all these great strangers drawings, like, in crayon, yeah. And especially, like, late night at bars. Like, yeah. you get some weird creativity, and sometimes you get some jackasses, yeah. Like, you know, but at the same time, like, no, I had markers, I had crayons, I had pens.
I'm, like, full-blown obsessed with this idea, because I'm always looking for ways to, like, remember my life, because I feel like I can...
It's so fleeting, isn't
it? Yeah, I feel like I remember nothing, and I feel like I have no life experiences, because I'm a bit of a couch potato, like, maybe more bed potato, or, like, you know,
yeah.
Table potato. I just don't...
A table potato?
Yeah. I guess that would be just a potato, I don't know. But, like, I really want to... That I don't know, I just think that's such a good idea, because I don't do
always travel with a 64 pack, you know. Okay, just put it in my purse, and that was pretty much my purse, was my traveling art supplies, essentially.
Wow.
And yeah, no, and it's actually really, it's very revealing of what people will do and things,
yeah,
like that, you know. Yeah, it's also a way to be flirty.
Okay.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, there's a cute bartender. You're like, oh, hey, draw in my book, you know, again, like,
yeah.
Oh, is she going to draw something flirty in my book or not? You know, like that kind of stuff, you know?
I once had a flirty move, which was, I was at a party where there was they had like a makeout closet, which, like, to be funny, you know, they had it. And then in it, there was a bowl of candy and mints. And my yeah. little flirty move was I actually took the candy mints out of there, which is probably not right. And then I would walk around the party and it's like, oh, would you like a mint? That was kind yeah. of my mm-hmm. little move at one point.
Yeah, you know what I would have said? I would have said, like, what are you trying to say? My breast stinks?
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah. We get to fight. We get into a yeah, exactly. huge fight.
What the fuck are you trying to say?
One of us is arrested.
How dare you? How dare you? Yeah. You know what? This lady stole my mints.
Oh man, what could have happened?
Yeah, oh gosh, oh yeah, oh yes. What could have happened?
If only I was arrested that night.
Yeah. So you are a vegetarian.
I'm, yes, kind of. So I was vegan for a year and a half, and then I've slowly sort of started to, like, I go back and forth on, like, okay, eggs are okay, or fish is okay.
So, okay, did you start when you were 8 to 10 years old, or when did you start?
No, I started, I really didn't become vegan. I guess I started...
When did you phase meat out of your diet?
When I was 21, I was vegan for a year. And then after that, I was normal. Like, I ate meat and it was...
Normal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a normal, a good American girl from Illinois. And then when I watched that documentary that scared everyone into being vegan called What the Health on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that actually 2 years ago on July 4th. And... that made me vegan. Was it 3 years? I don't know. Two, whatever. And so, yeah, it's been a couple of years, I would say.
Gotcha, yeah. Because most, like, hardcore vegans that I know, they are vegetarians at least, they all start between the ages of 8 and 10.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the ones that have, like, yeah, like, they, it's that age where you realize that meat is a living thing. And that's when they really start.
Getting wow.
in. I mean, the rest of it is either, yes, they watch a documentary,
yeah.
or it's a health thing.
Yeah, you know, a doctor says do
yeah,
this.
Exactly. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Just like, yeah, you're high risk for cancer, like, you know, yada, yada, you know.
Yeah, I watched that documentary, and it started out as a health thing. And then what was interesting is once I was just completely vegan, I started to really think about what it was and what it meant, and then it became like an animal thing. And that's, my parents went vegan too, and they're very strict. So when I go home, like, my dad literally goes, he's like, we're vegans who don't have eggs. Like, he gives me a hard time about it because they're strict.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so are you a vegetarian now?
Maybe.
Or are you pescatarian?
Maybe pescatarian because I like sushi, but I'm also starting to turn my back on sushi a little.
Really?
Maybe.
Is it a taste flavor thing, or is it just...
Sometimes it's just like kind of, I'm like, what? I think about the fish I'm eating and I get sad.
But fish have dead eyes. I mean, you know, me and the lady, we actually just started a fish collection. We have an aquarium.
I saw that.
Honestly, it's less than a week old.
And it's really cute.
It's adorable.
Do you think that will affect your ability?
Absolutely not. No. We are the top of the food chain. We won. We won the planet. We can eat anything. Listen, it's the same thing. Like, don't, you know, draw my book. Just don't be a jerk about it. Like, yeah. Eat anything you want. Just don't be a jerk about it. I mean, if we humanely like treat our animals.
Yeah.
It's look, I mean, lions don't treat their prey humanely.
Right.
Kind of thing. But since we actually have the word humane, you know, like, it's actually our responsibility to be nice about it. We don't have to be jerks about this whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm totally cool with eating like things as long as like, yeah, like, just don't be a jerk about it, you know? But I also know. I love meat.
I'm kind of with you on that. You know, if I felt like all the, you know, meat was being provided like safely and humanely, but like factory farming is actually really the problem.
It's really fucking gross.
Like
yeah.
Eating meat and stuff like that. I'm not against that. I'm against the factory farming.
Yeah.
Like,
dig it.
I don't really know. I wish I knew better on how to change things. I just, my vote, so to speak, is I just don't engage.
How do you get your protein?
Oh my God. That's such a famous question.
You gotta get your protein. You gotta get your iron too. Cause you're a lady. Ladies need extra iron.
True. So there's a really good iron supplement that my doctor told me about, which is a liquid. And I think if you just Google like liquid vegan iron supplement, you'll see it. But I do a liquid
vegan iron supplement. Yes. Yes. That's a very common Google phrase. Yeah. Yes. It's on the top of the search
pop
bar.
Right up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just type an L and you'll see it. So I do that. And then there's also these vitamins I just actually tried when I was at my parents' house last week. They're just like, I think it's the brand Country Life. It's vitamins for vegans, which is like, okay, I figure I'll get everything I need from that. But protein is like tofu and
yeah, anything soy,
beans, mm-hmm. and even like vegetables have protein.
Well, it's probably easier to be a vegetarian / vegan out in LA than it probably is anywhere else.
People always say that, but I'm like, my parents are in Skokie and they've managed to do pretty good. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it's probably just doubly easy here. That's
all
I'm saying.
You're totally right about that. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm eating nachos and I'm going to have soft serve. And my parents are like, what? It's all vegan?
But are you a good vegetarian, vegan kind of thing?
No, I'm the bad girl. I eat the fake meat, the fake cheese.
Yeah, gotcha. The Impossible Burger.
Yes.
All that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Just because I'm like semi-vegan does not mean I'm at home chopping up my veggies.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, my lady, like, you know, listen, I love ham.
Oh,
love
no.
it. Love it. I bake ham all the time. This house smells like ham half the time.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's delicious though. It really is. It's salty. It's sweet. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Oh.
Put a little mustard on it. Like, believe me, I even like marinate it in Coca-Cola and brown sugar. It's great.
Oh no, the piggies.
I know. Believe me. Actually, we're talking about getting a pet pig at some point. At some point. At the same time, also, I would have no problem feeding that pig ham.
No.
So
no, no.
That's how much I love ham.
No.
I want to share it with the world.
No.
Yeah. But also at the same time, she will try some. Like
yeah.
You know, every once in a while. Like yeah, like I cook bone marrow all the time.
That's so popular.
It's really good.
I think she's mentioned that to me before.
Because it's lish. It really, really is. And it's also fun to cook, too.
What is the consistency of that?
Honestly, it's fatty. It's kind of like, it has almost, I guess like butter or something like that, but like not, like chunky butter, I guess.
Okay.
So, you know, like you have smooth peanut butter and you have crunchy peanut butter. So it's kind of like that, but without the crunch, but chunky.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Sounds almost like a firm tofu.
Kind of. Okay. Yes, kind of. Yeah. Mm. Like a little bit of like butter meets tofu. How about
okay.
that? Yeah. It's very fatty and rich.
Mm.
Honestly, it coats the top of your mouth. You don't really need much of it.
Mm.
And believe me, I actually don't need that much of it because like, yeah, it's like, I'm sure my heart's going to like, you know, give out because of all the bone marrow, you know.
No, but
I found a butcher. We're in a new house and I found a butcher that will give me like, yeah, bone marrow. And yeah, I bake the shit out of it and it's fun to do and it's so easy and it's so tasty. And it's a great little thing to put on a cracker or like a little piece of
okay.
a baguette or something like that. And it's gorgeous.
Now, I'm curious, do you find cooking to be like meditative? Like, do you enjoy it?
Absolutely.
That's cool.
That's like, yeah, look, I mean, I like cooking all the time. Like, we actually have this nice new kitchen, so now I'm actually cooking all the time.
What are some of your favorite things to cook?
I do lots of soups. I'm a soupster.
Really?
Yes. Pretty much anything I can get my hands on, I can make a soup out of.
See, I feel like almost no motivation to ever make soup because in my head, I just think of soup and I'm like, it's liquid. It's not going to fill me up.
So yeah, no, my brother thinks that way. He goes, oh, it's just water. just water.
I mean, I didn't want to say it and so insulting in your own home.
No, but. No, exactly. No, it's just water. It's if Rick Moranis took a bath, you know, is that soup? No, that's not Rick Moranis soup. there's a difference kind of thing. It's a lot of things I could just throw out. You know, here's the leftover bones, or here's like the leftover like vegetables kind of thing. And it's like, what I'll do is I'll take that, put it in a pot of water and kind of just massage it a little bit and turn it into something that's kind of like cute and special. And listen, I'm a guy who actually like wakes up in the morning. I don't have a cup of coffee. I have a cup of broth.
Like bone broth or
anything. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Usually it's the stuff that I make and yeah, it wakes me up. It has protein in it. There you go.
True.
And it wakes up. It's one of the easiest things on your system kind of thing. Cause you've already done all like the boiling water has done most of the digestion for you is what it is. So it's like, yeah. So look, you're just kind of looking at, you're just kind of getting all the nutrients and all that kind of stuff. It's very easy for your body to soak all those things in. So,
I'm into that. I wish I could find an easy, like veggie filled soup that would taste good. Like that.
Is that a challenge?
Maybe it is. Cause I do feel like once I figure out my easy veggie soup, like all my dreams will come true. Okay. Everything will follow after.
Okay. All right. Well, honestly, I'm actually getting a veggie delivery, in the next like hour or so. So
that's hilarious.
I'll put a bunch of things in a pot and see what I can do. I'll see what I can do for you. okay. We're going to take another little break right here. Cause we're, you know, I do this every 20 minutes. Apparently this is a new thing, guys. I hope you like it, but you know, someone's gonna pay for this podcast. So enjoy this dynamic ad, you jerks. All right. See you in a minute. Bye. And we're back. So we took a little pee break. I mean, I did. Did you pee?
I did.
I peed too, but I have this thing cause I have a new house and there's something about it. I pee in my yard.
What?
Yeah, I pee. I pee like on my plants.
This is obviously a guy thing. I hear this from a lot of guys. Guys like peeing outside.
Yes.
It's like a nature thing.
Just whipping your dick out in the wind. It's so nice.
Guys love that. For me, to squat outside is not a luxury. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, I think it's different for girls.
I agree.
Because, popping a squat, it's a little different.
Look, I'll do it if I have to, but I'm definitely not. If there's a toilet, I'm going to use the
absolutely.
Toilet.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, dudes, we have a hose. Yeah. So, And also, the way I explain it to my girlfriend is, it's like I'm keeping the predators away. I'm peeing on all four corners of our property. And maybe a raccoon will smell and go, hey, there's a primate here that we don't want to mess with.
That's interesting. Now, I wonder if that, I want to look into that because if that is true, because I'm terrified of coyotes, I will get some piss.
Do you live in the hills?
Not really, no. But I've kind of heard that coyotes are everywhere. And I've seen them on the streets.
Yeah, I mean, you do see them. I mean, they're kind of ubiquitous with Los Angeles
kind of
stuff.
And when you have a small dog, it's just hard not to be obsessed.
Donut.
My baby.
With a crooked nose.
I know.
He's got like a deviated septum. I've never seen that dog with a deviated septum. He's adorable. Sorry.
No,
sorry.
That's okay.
We've only met once.
Say my last name as wrong as you want, but do not call my dog a boy.
Yeah, it's the same thing with our cats. Our cats are boys. Look at you. And, everyone's going, oh, she's beautiful. I'm like, no, Apples is a man's name.
Mr. Apples to you.
Yeah, exactly. No, because actually I've been talking with the special lady friend about getting a second dog. We talked about this.
I've heard about this.
Yeah. Now, and actually after Donut King, because actually, our little one panda, she's not a like friendly with other dogs all that much.
Okay.
Love Donut.
How and do you know?
Because they play. Did you not see them?
Oh,
they're playing.
Yeah.
No, they actually like were kind of like chasing each other, and not in like the ears folded back kind of way. Like right. they were enjoying. And it was one of those things. As soon as we got this new house, we got a big old yard. I could tell. I was like, Panda needs a little friend. Like, you know, yeah, like, because the cats, they play like cats. Like, they'll play with the, you know, they'll play with Panda, but they, you know, they also play like cats with each other. And she doesn't have anyone to play like a dog with her. And so I've been thinking about getting, you know, a little puppy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I the second dog thing comes up for me a lot too. I really want one, but then I keep going back to, which this might be different for you because you already have two cats, but like, well, she won't be the star of my... She won't be the center of attention anymore. There'll be another one.
Was she a princess?
Like, but she's not. So I think that's kind of me projecting a little bit or something. Yeah. Like, because when I brought her to my parents' house and there was two dogs there, unfortunately, they're old and they didn't want anything to do with her, but I could see her trying to play with them. And I don't know. A lot of people have the school of thought that, like, you got to have two. But then at the same time, I see people who have two and it seems like they're just prisoners.
I think Panda, like, you know, she's actually fine being a solo dog and stuff like that. But I think it would benefit her. Aww. That's the thing.
And how old is Panda?
A 9.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good age, actually, I think, to introduce another dog.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because they kind of, like, euthan them up.
Yeah, exactly. Keep her on her toes a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Like, listen, she'll probably hate it for, like, the first, like, month kind of thing. It's a transitional period kind of thing. But, yeah, you know, but introducing another dog, I think, like, a little pup, keep her on her toes and everything like that. Like, and also, Panda's such a really, like, she's such a good girl. I want her to... I don't know, for lack of a better term, rub off on on the younger little fucker.
Train a little guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's really funny because she's like just such a good girl. Like, you know, like that's, you know, and it's, do we really want to fuck with the dynamic kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the conundrum. I know. Part of me was thinking maybe I would foster and then that way you can kind of like test drive
the
dynamic there, but... I also can't, I give so much respect to people who foster animals because the thought of fostering an animal and then giving it up just seems cruel and painful to me. Did you watch Chernobyl, the limited series?
Yes, I did.
You did. Now, I love, who doesn't love like shows that are based on real events?
Exactly. Like true crime things plus like, yeah, like this.
This really happened and also here, there's some good,
no, Jared Harris is great too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say though, my one critique of it, which is that episode where they were shooting the dogs, felt fucking unnecessary.
Ooh, honestly, I actually loved that scene because it was just so sad. Like, it was just, it showed how it turned some of these soldiers, like, emotionless. Like, they seem like dicks when the new guy shows up. Mm-hmm. And then you see why they, like, are like these cold, heartless people. Because they have to do something that's cold and heartless that is, like, it's against their nature. It's against your nature to kill a freaking puppy.
Looking at it. Like,
and so no wonder like you turn cold because you have to do something cold. There's actually open season on green iguanas in Florida. I just read this article.
Why?
Because they're so destructive. Like they actually like mess with the infrastructure of like bridges and things like that.
Holy
like,
shit.
Yeah. And so like, no, they encourage homeowners if they see a green iguana to kill it.
Wow, I was just, there's this this beauty vlogger named Kathleen Lights, and she had a really funny Instagram story where there was an iguana like in her yard, and I just thought that was like the coolest, most exotic thing ever.
Yeah, no, I think it's freaking neat too, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like no, they're like there's too many of them. They're gonna eat out the whole ecosystem.
Wow.
And they're gonna mess with the whole infrastructure and they're not native there, so they're not even supposed to be there to begin with.
Oh, interesting.
And also those fuckers get big. I'd have a really hard time killing one of those things.
I don't know how you'd even begin to kill an iguana.
Honestly,
that I can't.
I put a little bit of thought into it.
Yeah.
And like, listen, I don't own a machete. Like, you know, like a. But like
even that though, you wouldn't get it fast enough. I just don't.
Oh, I know. And it's like, oh, do I use a shovel? Like, I mean, just like, oh, like, you know, just like
what? That's ugly.
I know, no shit. Like, you know, it's like they're encouraging people. Like,
what are they fucking? Yeah, there's.
What do you do? What do you do? How do you do it?
I guess a trap would really be, but even that's just.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gotten so bad because they probably had a bounty before, which is like, oh, cool. That actually encourages hunters to actually know how to, like, I don't know, kill efficiently, I guess.
What is a bounty?
They'll pay you, like, per dead animal.
Wow.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like, you know, they'll do it in certain states with coyotes also, where it's like, oh, here's $20 for a coyote. There you go. Because that's how dangerous, and they multiply so much kind of thing. And it's mm-hmm. also, there's too many of them. So, like, you know, like, it hurts the ecosystem. Like, that's the reason, like I said, with deer. Like, you know, like I said, I don't really want to shoot a doe-eyed deer. But at the same time, there's certain like times where we overly protect them. But because we are humans and we've set up an ecosystem that like lets them thrive, the next thing you know, there's too many of them. And next thing, would you much rather starve to death or have someone just shoot you in the heart real quick?
I can't fucking answer that. Yeah. What the fuck?
That's what I'm saying, though. You know, you hear me.
No, I'm not going to. I can't pick. That's dealer's choice, man.
Yeah, but seriously, you wouldn't want to starve to death. It's a long, painful death. You know, would you like to be abandoned by your mother and starve to death? Or would you like someone to put you out of your misery?
I
know. See, you don't want to answer that question, but I know you know what the answer is.
No, I don't. You know, it is funny the like irony of how sensitive I am about animals, but at the same time, like when it comes to people, like I tell everyone in my life, like no surprises, don't, because I would kill a person if I felt a threat. Like I would shoot a person in the head without a flinch. Like,
are you a gun owner?
I'm not gonna answer that.
Ooh, but okay.
I'm just gonna say that like no surprises is a policy of mine.
Oh, see, I jump out of from behind corners all the time. I
what?
Yeah. Ta-da! I scare my lady all the fucking time.
But it's like, that's not safe for me.
No, I do this thing where I pop through the window at night.
What happens?
Try to scare my lady. Oh, she gets scared. You know, yeah.
Does she shoot you?
No, but she is a gun owner.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Yes.
We have actually more than one gun in this house. And I was mildly conflicted about that kind of thing. But at the same time, it makes her feel good. And I get it. And if you're a responsible gun owner, like, great. You know, yeah. But she names them and everything. It's amazing.
Yeah. Which I think is the cutest thing ever. Again, I'm just like.
No, she's also registered. Like, so she's actually like, it's all. Like, she actually has a concealed license. So
I remember hearing.
Yeah, so she can actually like, you know, wear a holster under her, like, you know, under her little blazer or something like that.
I fucking love that.
You know, she's badass, man.
She really is.
Yeah.
She's,
yeah.
I keep saying, please adopt me. I want her to adopt me.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to be great parents to you. Yeah, we'll raise you right.
But yeah, no, I would not flinch at like just shooting a person for sure. Again, like, but I tell no surprises.
But a coyote though?
That it's not my business. It's not my business.
Okay, but
what if it had my dog?
I was just about to say.
Yes, of course.
Backyard of your place, there's a coyote going after donut.
Look, realistically.
And you have a gun handy.
Realistically, I don't think I would be able to get to it in time. Like shoot a coyote.
No, let's say it's right there. It's yes. Arm's length.
If I could shoot a coyote to save my dog, 100%.
Dig it.
But to me, that, you know, that's logical.
That's also a circumstance too. Yes. Looking at, yes.
Circumstantial. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
innocent.
So, okay. So yeah, we'll change the subject. So you're with a man.
Yes.
You have a man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
I know. Yeah. You guys came over.
Yeah. It was super fun.
We had a little couples thing.
Yeah.
Actually, we have to do it again. We actually play games.
I know. I really want to play Code Names with you guys.
Yeah. I don't know Code Names.
It's super fun. I love it because it's a good game where I like to team up couples because then you can see them frustrate each other, which is like, I love it with my parents, with my best friend and her boyfriend. Like, it's just great.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. No,
frustrated couples.
I was going to say that what couples need more, like all your friend couples is frustration with each other. That's what they need.
Frustrated couples is like my comedy taste.
Yeah. Nice.
So I would love to frustrate you guys.
Oh, great. Oh, cool. No, we're perfect. We're freaking angels over here. Like, yeah, so.
You really are.
Yeah, actually, we're great.
Yeah. That's why I think we'll see what we can get out of you guys.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Sounds good. And do you want to talk about, like, you're engaged?
You know, there's not much to say. I've been in a relationship for a really long time.
How long have you been together?
Almost 7 years.
Oh, geez. I'm so sorry.
It's too long, quite frankly. But yeah, we don't have any plans, though. You know, we don't know what we're going to do.
It's a loosey-goosey thing.
Yeah, we're pretty chill.
And he's a comedy guy also?
He's a comedy writer. He writes for the Good Place. And yeah, he's written for a lot of awesome
But is
shows.
He funny, though?
Is he funny? Yes.
Okay, so is he funny like in the written word, or is he just funny all around?
He's funny all around. He's funny. I don't think I would be able to stand 7 years with someone that wasn't pretty funny. But yeah, he's a funny guy, and he thinks I'm funny, which is even better.
See, it's the same thing with me and Brenda. Yeah. It's like, there's a lot of joy and a lot of laughter and a lot of love in this house, but it's also like, she thinks I'm hilarious.
Yeah, that's the hottest thing ever.
Yeah, honestly, great. Like, no, that's what gets her motor running. Like, yeah. Like it's like, great. Like, yeah, okay. I can go a half hour about our new fish. You know, and she's loving it. Like, yeah. I think having like laughter in the house is.
Yeah.
So, and you get him going too? He thinks you're funny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. He definitely. To me, that's like the greatest thing is just making him laugh. I mean, obviously I'm a comedian, so I like making people laugh, but it's always just fun when like you can make the people close to you laugh.
Yeah.
Which is probably like you have an unfair advantage there because you know them so well. But
well, I know, but still, like, I mean, but also, you've also been trained in the stranger laughing kind of area, Yeah.
Yeah. Trained, failed. I've done it all.
Yeah, exactly. See, I'm just good at dinner parties. I'm dinner party funny.
You are.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh yeah. Off the cuff. Yada, yada, yada. Boom. Yeah. But yes, no, I mean, at one point I probably had a tight five, but I can't really like, I'm not going to do stand up.
You should though.
I know, but I'm not.
That if I ever do a show, I am going to be calling you to come and do 5 minutes on it.
I can do 5 minutes. I can maybe do 5 minutes, but like that's about it. Like, I mean, listen, I get some poor cook jokes and all that stuff. Like I said, I have a tight five, but I'm like, I just don't really want to go into that kind of, it's a little harder. There's strings attached.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yeah. So, oops. Yeah, that's what I mean. There's strings attached because honestly, I think generally I'd be pretty okay at it at the very least. But
you're a funny guy.
I'm a funny guy. Yeah. Like, I can mess around,
Yeah.
But yeah, and also I have no fear of like bombing and stuff like that. Like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, yeah. Not everybody thinks I'm hilarious, but yeah, no, I don't think it's, now I consider myself a humorist. I'm not a comedian. I'm a humorist.
I'm into that.
In the no coward kind of way. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a humorist. So, but yeah, no, it takes a certain kind of, soul to do it. And it's actually, it's a very ballsy thing for anyone to do.
Yeah. It definitely was a scary thing and it still can be, but it's,
And how'd you get little Esther? How'd that happen?
So that was a nickname. When I first showed up at the comedy store.
Because you're a petite lady.
Yeah. And yeah. I also think like when I showed up at the comedy store, it was a lot of, middle-aged whatever men, and I was like
middle-aged Jewish men.
Yeah and I was
a lot of them from Boston.
True.
Yeah
very true. Yeah. And I was 21 and I looked 14 when I was 21. I just looked like a little baby, and people, and I started hanging out there, and people would call me either Baby Esther or Little Esther, and Little Esther just stuck. Like everyone just stuck with it. So it wasn't even this thing that I gave myself. I felt like everyone in the comedy scene there just gave it to me, and then I made it my Twitter handle, and then it just really became like who
a
I
thing.
Was.
Yeah,
yeah. Which I love it. I like it.
Because more people know you as Little Esther than Esther Pavitsky.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm like good with it. Like I'm into that. I'll go by either. I don't really care. Esther Monster is my Instagram, which I like when some people call me that. My fashion friends call me that because I've noticed in the fashion world, people call you by your Instagram handle.
Oh, is that how it is?
Yeah. So people, yeah. My fashion friends will call me Esther Monster, which I like that too.
Nice. All right. Oh, actually that, so do you want to throw out any kind of like your handles and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I'm Esther Monster on Instagram, Little Esther on Twitter. And I'm next weekend I'll be in Wilmington, North Carolina. And then I'll be at Montreal Comedy Festival, New York, Indiana.
Yeah. This will probably be airing next week. So yeah.
So, there you go. On my Instagram, you can see all the dates in my bio and
Yeah, you have a website?
I actually don't. How fucked up is that? I don't have a website.
Yeah, whatever. I have a website, but it's not even about me, though.
So, that's true. I know that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, visit bunnyears.com. It is freaking hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's really, really cute. We have some really great writers that do some really great things.
It's awesome.
Honestly, I think it's great. Actually, we need more people to visit it, so go ahead. Come. you can visit me on Twitter. I'm Incredible Culk on Twitter and Culkamania on Instagram. Also, check out Bunny Ears Pod on all the things, like whatever, the Facebooks and the Twitters and stuff. Also, leave us a voicemail. We have a voicemail thing at the very end. People leave us voicemails and we play them.
Exciting.
Yeah, so it's 845-393-4629. That's 845-EZE-HOAX. So leave us a voicemail. And honestly, if you do that 5-minute thing, we're not going to play it. But, you know, if you keep it short and pithy, we'll play it. And thank you, Miss little Esther Pavitsky.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Of course.
Yeah. Goodbye. Here comes voicemails.
Voicemails. We're always getting voicemails. You dial 845-EZE-HOAX. I said it's 845-EZE-HOAX. It might sound dumb, but it's not a joke. It's 845-EZE-HOAX. Motherfucking hoax. That's 845-393-4629. Motherfucking hoax. Voicemails.
Hey guys, I'm listening to your podcast right now. I'm stopped at a train on my way to dance class. And I can't believe I have to correct two 30-something-year-old men. But Stu, Pebbles and Bam Bam was a completely different show than the Flintstone Kids. And I've never even seen either one of those shows. So get it fucking right, Stu. Love you guys. Bye.
Hello, Macaulay. It's Emily calling from the beautiful state of Maine. And just wanted to say hello, and I love the podcast, and keep doing your thing. Also, no, fuck you.
Hey, Mac. I just had a breakdown, emotional breakdown at the DMV. The lady just asked for proof of residency at the place I moved into, and I forgot it, and I started crying. And she just stared at me, and she's like, we'll have someone else take care of you. I'm not sure why I did that. But anyways, I'm calling you after I listened to the Seth Green podcast and ate some McDonald's in a parking lot in front of my childhood home. Okay. Okay. That's it. Bye.
Hey, Mac, it's Kira at Daddy Issues XL on Instagram. I just need to tell you, every time I see, like, balls from a ball pit from, like, a crusty Chuck E. Cheese or guys in tight latex pants, I think of you and when you dumped all those balls on the wrestling mat. All right. Love you, Mac. Have a great day. And Kieran, suck my balls. Bye.
Hey, Mac, it's Kira from New York. Just calling to ask for your advice. I have a really big asshole friend that moved into a room in my house with my family. She is in the process of moving out, and she stole one of my cats, who is in the middle of nursing 5 kittens. What should I do? I need your help. Thanks, Mac. Love, Kira, and Kieran still sucks balls. Love you, bye.
Find me, gag me, take me to the bunny ranch.
You are freaking lumberjack! Oh my God.